The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Today's episode is brought to you by Munchie Mug, the world's number one premium no-spill snack cup. Listen to today's episode for a special offer from Munchie Mug. Munchie Mug, making your life less messy. Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio slash our bedroom on the due south wall is my lovely wife, my co-host, my CFO, and she's just wrapping up a shift at the gas station here in
her jumper
is Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there, this is my boiler suit.
Your boiler suit, yeah. You look like a like a groupie for Blue Man Group. You are. And it looks good.
I do have a Rosie Riveter.
Oh, that's right. This
head
is
head wrap.
That's
which
right.
I'm not wearing today.
That's funny. I didn't even put that together. So that is your leftover costume from Rosie. So
women love to look industrial. Just get a couple things done at the factory first.
Women's fashion right now is we just want to let you know that if you need us to load a conveyor belt, we can.
Mm-hmm.
If
we
you
can do it.
If you need us to work in this, we can do it. Anyways, everybody, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for tuning in for wherever you are right now. You know, what are our options?
Oh, people are wrapping gifts.
People are wrapping gifts. People are sitting in line.
What? You go.
They're at Target waiting for them to bring out the thing.
The order.
Or they're in the Target. I don't know.
They're putting stamps on Christmas cards.
Uh-huh.
Making the list,
checking it twice. Mel's in a real goofy mood right now, and it's because it's early in the morning. We have a sick kid.
Yeah,
but
two people sleeping in our house right now.
Two people sleeping in our house right now. Some cats that are freaking out because it's pretty cold outside.
Yeah,
and by our standards, and we are leaving. We have the equivalent of the rare thing where we get a company Christmas party tonight, and then at the Hollywood Improv, they're doing a thing for levity and comedy folks, and so we're going up there, and so we're just leaving this house in the shambles that it is, totally guilt free. And we'll see you tomorrow.
It's not shambles.
It isn't?
No. I've restocked everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you are dressed the part. So yeah, we appreciate you guys. Today we we're gonna do some weekend recaps as always. We've got a flurry of holiday topics that we would like to discuss. I think I have an idea for a little Dustin's Comedy Corner.
Okay.
We've got some stuff that we might get into today. We'll see. We promised all these things last episode.
That's right.
And we did absolutely none of them. So
that's just how it is.
It is just how it is.
It's under 2 weeks until Christmas.
Under 2 weeks till Christmas. The holiday is here.
That's right.
The holiday season. So dip
and
the do.
You got some dates for us?
Mm-hmm. Nice segue there, Melissa. It's like you're staring at my laptop. You do that thing like I always make fun of you for. When you're on a plane, right, you watch your neighbor's movie.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I went to a couple of rows in front.
Yeah.
I'm keeping tabs on several movies
You have so many tabs open on movies on a plane. You're watching four or five movies simultaneously.
Yes.
And you do the same thing here. You always come to this podcast with some notes that you never look at because you're looking at whatever's on my screen.
No, I don't. I don't look
you
at
You literally just did.
Well,
that's how you got into
a drink. So I was trying to fill the space by saying something. So I was like, oh, I'll just tee up your dates.
Yeah.
That was...
But you were looking into my screen.
But you were taking a drink.
Okay.
I was trying to help.
So you only look at my screen.
So this is like a volley?
Okay.
It gave you a a set.
All right, Spike, here we go. Upcoming headline dates, everybody. January 6th and 7th, I'm going to be at Helium Comedy Club in St. Louis. February 8th, Denver, Colorado at Comedy Works. Then we pause. Then I just go open for a while and rebuild this hour and release some projects because sometime in that time frame, my special will come out. Where? I don't know. When? I'm not sure. These things take time, all right? Neighbor Gotzi recorded his the same weekend as mine, and his had a big fancy production company, and his is coming out January 31st. So probably around then. I don't know. Mine's being edited by a guy who lives in a van. That sounds like hyperbole. It is not. So then we kind of pause on headlining dates. And this next tour, that my headlining tour dates, my really big ones are going to start in May. Some of them are on sale already right now. Bricktown Comedy Club in Tulsa on May 18th, followed up by Bricktown Comedy Club in Oklahoma City on the 21st. Then I'm going to be in Des Moines, Iowa on the 26th, 27th. This is not on sale yet, but it will be soon. The next day, the 28th, I'm going to be in Omaha, Nebraska. So getting some good Midwest time in there. So then after that, it's January 16th and 17th.
June
16th and 17th. Good thing you're looking at my screen right now. June 16th and 17th at Mic Drop Comedy in San Diego. And then June 21st, the Improv in Orlando. June 22nd, the Improv in Tampa. Cities that I know we have confirmed but are not on sale yet. Sacramento. I mentioned Omaha. Columbus. Finally doing Columbus for the first time. Cincinnati. I have never headlined in Cincinnati before. Did I say Sacramento, Cincinnati, Omaha? Other ones that we are working on right now. Los Angeles, Brea, Irvine. We'll hit the spots, guys. Oh, Tacoma is not on sale yet. Yeah. Pittsburgh, it's happening.
There's some other July stuff.
Listen, maybe. I don't have to tell you guys to sign up for the mailing list because if you listen to this podcast, you are in deep with us, you know. But this podcast and the mailing list are always going to be the best way to know where That's upcoming right. dates are. We're trying, folks.
Or the website.
You know, you've got to, it's this. Okay, I'm going to open with Dustin's Comedy Corner.
We're ready.
There's a very common narrative right now that a lot of comedians, and I think understandably so, like to do like the underdog thing. You know, like industry didn't show me love.
Yeah.
Passed on me. First off, that's like almost never true. The biggest acts that use that, I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to name names because who am I? But the biggest acts who do that narrative, just so you know, all got industry love. Every single one of them. Now, they may not have gotten it from the biggest, and they may not have gotten it right away, but they absolutely did. That all exists, myself included. So I'm bringing myself into this, not as one of the biggest comics in the world, but I know I do the thing about getting dropped by the agent and and I get passed on a lot. Okay, but also, I've been on TV multiple times. I've had a lot of people really help me in my career. We've gotten some big opportunities. And also it's help from comics and reps. And you can have that narrative. But we are in an incredible comedy boom right now where people are selling tickets. There used to be like 15 to 20 theater acts in comedy. And now it feels like there's 200. We are in a huge comedy boom right now. Massive. Ticket-wise, the biggest in history.
Yeah, stand-up people are coming
More people are coming out to stand-up comedy now than have ever done in the history of comedy. So you can play victim. I get that. But if you have the internet, you have the biggest tool in the history of comedy. Nothing has been big in the history of the world, for that matter.
As far as gatekeepers go.
It's random. You never know who's going to pop and why, but you have the same opportunities now that everybody's had because you have the internet. Now, again, sometimes you get a thing from like Netflix or HBO or whatever it may be that helps even prop up your internet space. I get
that.
But there are a lot of people who are just internet comic and focusing on the internet is more valuable than those things anyway. So it's like you're getting views that only Chris Rock in the 90s could get right now. So it's,
yeah, and what, like Comedy Central or?
Oh, on HBO.
HBO.
Yeah, yeah. I just, it's it's laughable to me at times that you just like, you want to play this like victim. And I guess that's helpful for you. Like to maybe be the chip on the shoulder guy.
Well, it's kind of a narrative crafting.
It is, yeah. I just think that like it's a mindset of if you are like this now, you will always be this way.
Yeah, there's always a way to spin a story.
There's always a way to feel like you're being disrespected and not, you know, not getting the proper praise and opportunities that you are due. And that might be true. But first off, nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. There's no guarantee. There's nothing like you got up into this and you got good. You know how many great comics are unknowns? There are so many good comics that are just not household names and not known at all. And there's also comics comics. Comics don't even particularly like that are huge. So it's all of the, it's all random. It doesn't mean anything. Enjoy the internet. So that's side one that I have. And then the other side of this coin, I was going to tell you, is though exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that's where it comes from. This is me trying to be understanding of both things, because I got up as we're waiting for you to get ready, you know, to zip up. I was thinking about, like, I checked like my Spotify numbers, which I hadn't checked in a while. I was like, oh man, maybe I need to focus on, you know, my album on there doing better and sending some love to there. Mm-hmm. And I sat down, I was thinking about all the things on the internet that a comic has to do is pretty exhausting. There are, yeah, on any given day, I'll just say this, on any given day, things that me personally, I'm worrying about building, right?
Yeah.
Facebook, and this is no particular order, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. I'm checking my SiriusXM downloads. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about my Spotify. I'm thinking about my mailing list. I'm thinking about my podcast downloads. That's eight that I could think of without
checking. Ads on podcasts.
Right. No. But I mean, just as far as like building goes, like as far as building a following
views
goes.
And clicks.
Yeah. Like YouTube. Oh, how did I forget YouTube? It's like 10. I just named 10 things that I think about every single day.
Well, and the metric is available to you, which is a curse and a gift, you know, like that you can see how one video performs,
right?
Or one joke performs, or views, clicks.
On any given day, the internet is, on any given day, the internet is telling you how good you are and how bad you are at the same time.
So it's immediate feedback, but sometimes it's
doesn't mean it's good feedback
or by chance, like, something can bomb on the internet, but then work on stage and vice versa. So
even if you get all the opportunities, and this is why I think Taylor is so big and why she's one of, if not the hottest comics, you can get all the opportunities, but you have to do all that stuff that I just said too, or have someone doing it for you.
Yeah.
You know, which is like a balance. Well, like, we have a producer for this podcast. We record. He edits, and Steven edits and uploads for us.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I understand that that's a luxury that I have that other comics don't have. They're editing and doing it themselves, but I'm editing my own videos and uploading myself. So it's like, you have to do all of it.
Absolutely. But also, if you get a late night set, you better have the jokes and the act and the package to produce off of that.
Right.
You know, like, so you can get opportunities, but I mean, you can get a special, but if it's, you know, if nobody watches it, you know.
I mean, that's the biggest fear there. That's the thing that you.
That's the hard part.
Yeah. Yeah. You really, because specials are so, talking to the editor about this, I was like, I mean, I don't want to sound like too grandiose on this, but this is like, you know, specials are what comedians are remembered by. Like, this is kind of our
your book.
These are our books that were kind of like left behind. They're the more kind of complete works.
Yeah.
If you will. And then I'm like, that's not true, because this isn't the thing that people watch the most.
No. Everybody's viewing habits have changed so much.
Right.
Listening habits.
Right. It's like, what is Mark Twain most known for? His books or his quotes? His quotes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that it has changed as much. You know, you're like, everybody knows George Bernard Shaw said that the youth is wasted on the young. Or youth is wasted on the young. Or, yeah. And you're like, okay, but like, do you know a book of his? Or do you know his quote?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, you know, so it is an interesting. I don't know. I guess maybe as the comic, the special means more to you, because you're like, it took me so long to build this. And so it carries a lot of weight to you. But all that to be said, anyone starting out in comedy who's listening to this, just work hard, just do everything, and just be nice to everybody. And whatever narrative you have to craft for yourself that motivates you, sure, what do I care? I get it. I get why people do it. It's very similar to, you know, like years ago, there was an undefeated team, the 18-0 New England Patriots going into the Super Bowl, and they ended up losing, but they went in, they're like, if anything, we're the underdog, because there's so much pressure on them. You're like, there's no way. There's no, you're the favorite. You are literally the favorite. You're like, oh, well, no one, you're like, whatever narrative you have, whatever thing you have to say.
Motivate yourself.
Exactly. Motivation is hard to find. And if you got something that motivates you, and you got like a narrative that you craft that people resonate with, fantastic. It's all like, hard.
Michael Jordan, you know, and I took that personally.
And
that's how he, one of the ways that he would work so hard.
And in a group text, this is all coming in a group text that Aaron Weber and John Christ and I had this week. And Aaron said, give me a break. Like, I'm paraphrasing, like, we're all eating a bag of crap out here. And it's true. It is true. We're all, every person in life and in comedy has their own struggle. Let me tell you, this is somebody who works with a very big comic. That's a new set of problems. That's every, a whole
every
new,
level
whole new of set comic of problems.
Has a new problem.
And you tell yourself, if I'll just get there, then I'll feel better. And no, you won't. No, you won't. You'll feel better about that thing that you were worried about before.
The old thing.
But now you got a new thing. There's always a new thing. This is actually what I was saying that to Tay this last weekend of I'm trying to think more and more like that. I do run negative and I run pessimistic, as particularly when it comes to career stuff, like I'm not going to get this and it's not going to go well for me and da, 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 da. And I've said in my last special, like, I hate hope, and I'm trying to be different of like, no, I can, because I have a couple things right now that I'm hoping for and I would really love to get, and it would feel great if I did. And I'm not protecting myself by not hoping. I'm just going to let myself be vulnerable and hope for those things. If I don't get them, just let it hurt. And if I do get them, enjoy it, because what I'm telling myself is there will be pros and cons either way. I know you want it. When you get it, it'll feel great, but know that it won't fix all your problems. You'll have a new set of things. Netflix is a classic example. Like, if you get a Netflix special, fantastic. Now, is it going to perform well? Or are you going to be one of those Netflix specials that just went away? Are you going to have that, like, oh, you got
featured?
You got a Netflix special, but it didn't even help your career? Oh my gosh.
And now you got to set up all these podcasts and get on there.
Yeah.
And yuck it up.
Say you have one that goes well. Now what? Now you got to do it again.
Yeah.
Now you get to have a follow-up album. Yeah. Now there's the pressure of the next thing. So, I mean, it's...
Write a new hour. Yeah.
There's probably some life crossover here for other people's jobs and careers, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I'm not going to try and mail. Like, this is how it applies to all you guys. I'm just speaking. This is just, this has been Dustin's Comedy Corner. Anyways.
I think it's good you're letting yourself get your hopes up.
I don't know, because I do hate it. I do hate hope. Okay, I couldn't wait to say this on the I was going to do this later in the episode. There are many things that I love about you. One of the funniest things about you, Melissa, is how bad you are at remembering phrases.
Oh, I'm
like common
so bad.
Vernacular, slogans, isms.
Yes.
And you have botched two of them this week.
I know.
That are so funny to me. You told me just an aisle of lost toys. Which, of course, is an island of misfit toys.
Yes.
But Isle of Lost Toys.
I was referring to Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. Isle of Lost Toys.
Isle of Lost Toys is so funny. It's so funny.
I got like two of the right words.
Yeah.
Lost Toys.
Well, that you added Isle is the funny one to me. The Isle.
It was like kind of like an ancient nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
Old English.
Yeah. And then the other one that you did this week that was so funny was, we're not recycling the moon here, which you were trying to say. This one took me a minute to figure out. You were trying to get to, we're not reinventing the wheel here. And you said, we're not recycling the moon here.
I know. It's like...
That's so far off.
It's like drunk uncle from SNL. Yeah. But I'm just like standing in the kitchen just saying these things.
And you're saying it.
Sincerely.
100% confidence.
Well, what happens is I don't plan ahead like when I'm talking. I just shoot from the hip. So I will start a phrase and then not know how to finish it.
Yeah.
And then I just improvise.
Yeah, you are.
But I sell it. Like, I did it, right? I said it.
That I got us back to reinventing the wheel was based purely on context of what you were trying to say.
Yeah.
But I mean, you are, when it comes to talking in general, you are ready, shoot, aim.
Yes.
I've told you before.
Always messed up.
Right.
Always messed up phrases.
I've told you before, my brain sees the word coming. Like, no, I'm like, I'm way out here. Mm-mm. So much so that if I have a big word that I'm thinking about saying, like one that I bad, like tumultuous, that's a word I struggle with.
Yeah.
I see that about 30 seconds in advance and I'm gauging, can I land that? That's, I struggle with that one.
And that's why you are on stage. Because your brain's like, here come the words.
And yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, if you guys ever knew how much of this podcast Steven has to edit on some of these episodes with Mel. We've had a couple episodes where Mel will go on like some 90-second rant. And I'd be like, hey, Steven, we can't use any of that.
Oh, my gosh. You make it sound like I'm
no, it's entertaining.
Super racist.
No, I didn't say anything like that.
No, I just,
Oh, I didn't mean for a cancellation or anything like that. You're not saying anything appropriate. I'm just like, where did that come from?
You know, I'm not a professional talker. That's for sure.
You are. You're a podcaster. It's funny that people are listening to this and going, wait a minute. She does speak for a living.
Well,
recycling the moon is one of the funniest things.
I said like reinvent the moon.
No, you said no, because I had to deduct two of the words.
Yeah.
And it was just such a callback to what we talked about last week of how you and I both know nothing about the moon.
Constantly reminded of our.
Yeah. I mean, there are catchphrases, you know, like shoot for the moon. Like there are catchphrases that involve the moon.
Yes.
So I understand why you might have just grab that.
I just take half of one phrase and half the other phrase and put them together and then just go, did that come out right?
You just Frankenstein phrases together.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty funny. Pretty funny. And it's better podcast content. So well done.
Does anybody else do that?
Yeah. Please do. Actually, I do want to hear about that because I think we've all done it every once in a while. We've all messed up some phrases every once in a while, you know?
Yes.
Like there's classic ones like take it for granted. And some people do take it for granted. Like, that's a common one that people misdo. But no one in the history of the world has ever said recycle the moon. It doesn't even, there's no context.
Doesn't make any sense.
No. But in that little brain of yours, big brain. You know, I didn't mean to, we all have little brains.
I'm
going
to be honest, my shoulders are sore.
Oh my gosh. You know how I was talking about how everyone can be a victim? Melissa got a massage yesterday and has just been telling me how bad it has been that she got a massage.
This is like you being positive about your career. I emailed you like on Thursday or Friday, like, hey, can you help me set up a jaw massage?
Right.
You know, and for teeth grinding and TMJ. And you did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to it on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Right after the massage, I got like a massive headache, which I guess is common. I don't know.
We sat down. I was like in the car. I was running some stuff ideas. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what like online content do you think I do that resonates with most with people?
Your audience.
It's like most authentic to me because you can answer that more so than anybody else because you know me better than anyone else. And you were like, my eyes are blurry. you're like, I asked you a question and you're like, your whole system rebooted.
Yeah, I was like, I'm getting that thing right before you get a headache when you start seeing shapes.
Yeah.
So anyways, I got a massage and I'm victimizing my massage.
I mean, it's probably true. I get it that your body's getting roughed up in a way it doesn't normally do. So I could see it being, but it is
sort of inflammation thing.
Okay. Soreness after a massage is going to be the same equivalent to golf tired.
I agree. Followed up by, I'm just so tired from my vacation.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's it's a very similar thing. I'm not discounting that you are because you know what? Golf is exhausting. Yeah. You are so tired after golf. Mm-hmm. You just don't get to tell anybody. And you know what? You might be really sore after your massage. You just don't get to tell anybody that.
Or nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody can. And they shouldn't. They shouldn't. Yeah. Congratulations on your massage. Yours was kind of more medical in nature. And you also weren't like thrilled with how because it was meant to be like jaw stuff. And
yeah, I don't know. It was a TMJ massage, but she did my shoulders the whole time. But
we don't know anything.
It felt good.
Yeah.
And maybe it will help. I've had enough professionals tell me to get a TMJ massage. So I gave it a go.
And so, I lined it up and
I appreciate that. And you drove me to it.
And I feel my biggest insecurity in the world is feeling stupid and people thinking that I'm stupid and it wasn't what you wanted and it wasn't cheap and we did it and it didn't go well. So I feel stupid. And so when you said that, I was my negative reaction to you in the massage, it was coming from a place of insecurity of my own. So,
well, I told you I appreciate that you helped me.
Right.
So, and maybe it will help. I gotta wait and see. You don't know unless you try it.
I know.
You know?
I know, but I could have researched more or something. I could have done better. I could have done better.
You don't have to.
Okay.
Beat yourself up over this.
You guys, Munchie Mug is the best spill-proof cup on the market.
Speaking of massages.
Speaking of feeling empty. Guys, if you are not familiar with Munchie Mug is, like I said, it's the best spill-proof cup on the market. If you got something in your life that you don't want spilled, big one for me right now, Smart Pop. Oh my gosh. I can't and waste.
Specifically Skinny Pop. Oh, it's better
Skinny
than Pop.
Skinny Pop is better. Guys, Skinny Pop, Oops All Berries, whichever one you're getting. It's great.
It spills
great.
Everywhere.
Oh, it's so helpful for those little young kids that are so spilly. You know, and just kind of the spilly years. And
if only you could put a hot chocolate in them.
If only you could. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or our kids' concoction of we put 4 Oreos in the milk and just let it soak. You're like, it's called
in 20 ounces of milk.
Yeah, it's called cookie milk. Wow. You really dug deep there. Munchie Mug did dig deep, though, and made a great product. And
sure
it was made right here in the U.S. It's completely dishwasher safe. I bet you might be able to still get one in time for the holidays. You might have to order it today. I don't know. I'm not gonna speak on their shipping. But I know that, you know, if you go to
munchiemug.com
and use promo code Don't Make Me, that's all one word, no apostrophe, Don't Make Me, you're going to get 25% off your entire order. Munchiemug.com, use promo code Don't Make Me to get 25% off your entire order. Munchie Mug.
Making your life less messy.
Okay, let's do a quick weekend recap and then let's get to some holiday topics. Very quick weekend for me last weekend. I left on a Thursday night.
I can't remember.
It's Friday. Did I do? No, I did day up. I left Friday. I came home Sunday. What am I, a well-balanced human being?
I know.
Huh? Not this week, though. This week we're doing red eyes and Christmas plays and all of the stuff. But last weekend, we did a show in Oklahoma City with Tay, and then we did a show, and then the next day we drove to Tulsa, and they were great. I love Oklahoma folk. That's why I'm coming back in May. I mentioned those dates earlier. It was great. Oklahoma was, it was fine. It was cold. It was a little abysmal. It's just kind of a gray time of year right now. But I like Oklahoma folk plenty. I wanted to do a thing. I'm going to see if I can remember to do this each week. It's called What Pretentious Coffee Shop Did Dustin Go To On The Road This Week?
Okay.
And I went to two.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma City, I went to Willow Coffee Shop and it was good. Now I was drinking drip coffees. At this hour, you know, all I got over the weekend was drip coffees and it was good, very tasty. And they also had, they had like a little cranberry scone situation that was quite delightful. I don't know.
Spiders?
You guys can't see this, but I'm, my finger is crawling up Melissa's neck to give her a TMJ massage. It was great. In Tulsa, I went to Topeka. Drip coffee. And it was the holiday season.
Yeah.
I chatted it up with my barista.
Oh.
I made some small talk. I don't remember what I said. I just blacked out and I was very funny. I was charming. I got quite a few laughs in a short period of time.
Did you have Taylor with you?
No. Yeah. No. Tay had like a family member randomly in town.
Okay.
At the first one, Tay and I went to Willow and we got a cranberry scone that we split because like, as we like to say, sometimes you just need a win out here. The road biscuit is just, and then actually in Tulsa, they had like a donut wall. They had like a credible like swag bag that they gave us and stuff.
Yeah, that theater really did it all out.
Now, that was the thing. The room itself was weird. It was like a conference center. It wasn't even a theater, but the people in charge of like the gift basket stuff and like the hospitality, which not every venue always has, it was great. It was incredible.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was super nice. Here's the thing. Like I've told you this before, there's like good coffee everywhere at this point. There's just, we went to North Park yesterday and we're like, we have Wholesome, which is one we like here a lot in town. Yeah. That's like one of your faves. We got a lemon poppy seed thing because sometimes you just need a win in town too. I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, I know it wouldn't make me happy, but being able to eat a lemon poppy seed loaf every morning would make me closer to happy.
What?
It's so good. You ever just treat yourself and start your day off with a pastry?
No.
I know. You do. You did yesterday. You did yesterday.
No, but if I'm out with you and I will like split something with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not having a Costco muffin every morning at home. I'm not an insane human being. I'm not.
Those are big.
Those are big. But I'm telling you, like, and when you, or you're at Starbucks and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna get the pumpkin loaf. And they're like, do you want to warm it up? I'm like, yeah, I want you to warm it up. Do I enjoy happiness? No, keep it cold. I hate myself. Yes, warm it up.
I don't have time for that.
It's so good. I just, because as you get older, you know, you really, like, it's really a treat to have a pastry. I'm not talking like cookies,
so
donut.
You're savoring it more.
I am.
Just a couple bites
and
a hot black coffee. You're 90 now.
I'm, oh, it's so good. You'll dip a bite. You don't want the crumbs to get in the coffee because then your last drink of coffee, some crumbs come down. Oh, gosh, I forgot there was food in there. which just ran down my throat. Yeah, no, I'm just trying to enjoy life a little bit more. What I like to do is I like to sit down with a black cup of coffee and a half a pastry and just go like, this is the meaning of life. This is the good parts.
That's nice.
You miss these moments. You miss life.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are rushed in the morning.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I'm rushed a lot in the morning, but I don't. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. On the moments that you're not rushed, I'm not doing this every day. I happen to do it twice this week, and I'm trying to.
Gosh, I couldn't get anyone to leave the house with me this weekend.
Some people. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a second. Some people. I guess what I'm saying. What I'm saying is my equivalent in stop and smell the roses is sit and eat the lemon poppy seed loaf.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's just good.
Enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're so good. Yeah, I want that warmed up. Yeah, our shows were great. I was in and out. You were bored all weekend. Nobody would do anything fun with you.
Right. So Joel went to a high school basketball game Friday night. I think it was his first. And so he, you know, left at 8 in the morning and got home at like 10:30 at night.
Right.
Spent the whole day there. It was fun for him. But the girls were varying levels of not competing in their current sports or switching sports. So we just had an off weekend.
Mm-hmm.
No one would leave the house with me. I did 2 Target pickup orders and that was it. I did 12 hours of laundry because we need to get our dryer fixed. Yeah, I just, you know, did all the house stuff.
Yeah.
And at one point I was like, I should just leave.
Right.
You know, I should just go.
Yeah, because you could. Gramps is here, you know.
But then I just kept getting stuff done.
Well, I had a lemon poppy seed loaf.
I did not have a pastry, but I did have one with you on Monday.
Right.
And with my jaw massage.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you got a massage.
Oh, you know what
else
I did?
And we're going to LA tonight. Go ahead.
You know what? If I hadn't done all that prep over the weekend, it'd be harder for me to leave today. So you have to stock it up.
You guys may have heard our child cough in the background as Melissa said that. How fitting.
Yeah.
You know what?
So speaking of you being 90,
yes,
your hot coffee and pastry, I went to a funeral on Friday.
Oh.
So that's not what I'm here to talk about. It's my friend's dad passed away. Sweet guy, great family.
Mm-hmm.
Really sweet, you know, funeral. But the point is I was like, hey, do you want to carpool with one of my friends? And she said, I'm going to be late because I have a dishwasher repairman over here. And that is the most middle-aged sentence that someone can text you.
Yep.
So we both did attend the funeral. She was late because the repairman was at her house.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard to fit it all in.
Melissa, I have the reverse of that. And that's exactly, that's such a nice snapshot of what actual like middle-aged life is.
Because absolutely.
I had one last week on a group text where I just sent like a sports thing and there was a few of us on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the friend in it responded back to me separately. The other friend said, hey, FYI, the other guy's dad just passed away. And you're like, oh my gosh, middle age is so heavy. It's like, we're just here.
Yeah, any day you can text a friend and they're like, hey, you know, kind of got a lot going on at the moment.
It's so heavy. Middle age is just that. It's so heavy. Of just like, the longer you live, the more grief you accumulate.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't get easier. You just have more hard memories now. They keep stockpiling. You're like, oh yeah, well that one didn't fully go away, but now I got a new one here.
I know. I was thinking about the Comedy Corner. You know, when you're talking about filming a special, like it's so much easier now that you've filmed one.
Right.
And now that you've filmed 2.
Right.
Because you know somewhat what to expect and how to launch it and sell it.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, like you have to gain those life experiences in order to kind of know what they're like.
Yep.
And how you should respond to them.
Right.
So, yeah, life is hard.
You have some idea of how you're going to feel when it happens.
Yeah, so like if you're planning like your 40th birthday party or something, you actually know yourself.
You do.
In the sense that you're like, what would I actually want?
Yeah.
What do I not want?
Well,
you know?
I think when you're younger, at least for me, the fear of grief is bigger than the grief itself. Because
the anticipation or
the unknown.
The unknown.
What's it going to be like?
Yeah.
And then if you've gone through enough, you realize I made it through that. A day went by, a week went by, a month went by, a year went by. I did. It didn't break me. I went through it. It was hard, but I made it through it. But the older you get, the more you just kind of accumulate. But it does become, it's heavier, but in some ways it's a little easier because you've gone through it.
Yeah.
Whether it be grief or professional accomplishments or just kind of life experiences in general, the ups and downs, the wins, the losses, the peaks and the valleys, you just go, I know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
I know what pain feels like. I know I've been here. I've crawled up. You know, now there's always a new worst thing that could happen. There is always a new, the most awful thing imaginable could happen. But you don't have to quite project as much of what would it be like if this happened. Good and bad.
You're good, and bad. Oh, I know.
Yeah. Because accomplishments, I know what it's like to have a first kid. Like, I know what it's like to have big professional accomplishments. I know what it's like to move states. I know what it's like to get a concussion. I know what it's like to get a bad haircut. I know what it's like to start balding. I know what it's like to lose a loved one. Like, I know we just, you know. All the good experience. The mindset. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's we're not recycling the moon here. You know, we're not. I did not know how. I was going to put a button on that, but it came to me. You're so weird. You're such a weird person. I love it, but you are so weird.
I know.
You're a quirky, silly little thing. It was very comfortable in her own skin, and I like it a whole lot. I really like your skin, if you know what I mean. Heyo, sorry. Steven, keep it in. okay, I want to talk some holiday stuff.
Okay.
I will never forget the first time that you took me to see the Nutcracker.
Yes.
And I sat there, and I go, not only am I not enjoying this, I have no idea what is happening. And that's when I...
second act.
Yeah. And that's when I realized I am not cultured.
Yeah, it took you like when we were teenagers. And you could get student tickets like day of for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let's go see the Nutcracker. And then we sat there in the balcony and you were pretty much like, what just happened?
Yeah. I was an uncultured, unexperienced, unartistic 15-year-old male with ADD. I had no chance of liking the Nutcracker. None whatsoever.
I know.
I'm not sure how much I would enjoy it now. I like the music. Don't get me wrong. I like the music. Yeah, and I love live performance.
Musical.
I love live performance. But I don't love, like, I don't know. I like plays. What do you even categorize that? It's almost more like opera.
It's
like
ballet.
It's a ballet. It's a ballet. That's okay. That's the... I don't love ballet. I can't. I'm trying.
It's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone. It used to be for everybody. Opera and opera singers and like an orchestra performance and ballet. That used to be as good as live entertainment got.
Yeah, those were the options.
Those were the options.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it's not for me.
Well, it's funny because as far as like Christmas family traditions go, I used to take my mom and Gloria to Nutcracker every year. And we did that for a couple years, and then we incorporated Claire.
Uh-huh.
And then we just stopped.
Right.
And we were like, hey, no one's really...
no one likes this.
Like, Laura's like, yeah, I like getting the Nutcracker, like the the toy, decorative item. And then we were like, hey, we could just not.
I think that the world is separated into three groups. There are people who love the Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. There are people that... don't like and or understand the Nutcracker. And then there's the worst of the three, which there are people who pretend to like the Nutcracker.
Well, I don't think you should do things in the name of tradition.
No.
In the sense that, like, our girls both have ADD.
Yeah, well, you also
and
should...
you go sit down in a fancy dress and they get bored.
Yeah, exactly. And you should also not pretend to like something to make yourself interested. Seem interesting.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that
either. It's a classic.
Oh, I just love the ballet. I mean, do you? Do you? Do you? You do? You might. I'm not saying you don't because I know there are people who do and I respect them for that. Mm-hmm. But don't act like you do.
I mean, I could go once a year.
Yes.
To the Nutcracker.
Yeah. You're group A. I'm group B.
Yeah.
The only group that is truly insufferable is C. That's the only group. Because A and B are being honest. Just be honest with the things that you like. Life is too short to see the Nutcracker if you don't want to. Don't.
It's true.
Don't see the Nutcracker if you don't want to.
See it once.
Yeah.
And then
know that it's not for you.
If you don't want to go again.
Great.
You have to go if your kid's in it. That's the.
That's exactly
that's
it.
That's the exception.
Yeah. Save it for when your kid's in it. Save it when your very talented kid is a lead or your other kid's a rat. The mouse.
The little kids are the mice.
I think that Claire will like it as she gets older, but it's not
she
for me.
Actually, she likes it on Netflix.
Yeah.
But she doesn't like going to it.
There are limited Christmas things that you can do as far as activities and stuff go. Yeah. So, you know, I don't like there's limited time.
Absolutely.
And because you've got to do what we did last night, which is make the Christmas card stuff. I mean, we made the card. We got it out. And then you got a label. You don't have to, but we choose to. And we like to. And we were like, OK, we're going to go out tomorrow night. So let's just have some tea and do this. And then about four envelopes in, I was like, hey, I'm going to get a beer. This is a pretty tedious activity.
Monotonous.
I put on some Christmas music and I enjoy your company, but I do the job that I do so I don't have to do stuff like this.
We only did 100 envelopes.
And it almost killed me.
And I had already done all the hard stuff.
Like,
I had printed all the addresses. Yeah. It's very hard. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just in the month of December too, because you're just like, ah.
Well, you know,
Everybody's sick. Why am I doing this? Yeah.
Well, we only sent 100. So you know what panicky feeling we get to deal with. Oh, no, they sent us a Christmas card and we didn't. Quick, grab the extras.
See, that's the hardest part about Christmas card is you go like, they're out. We're done. And then you get a bunch.
The Johnson sent me one. I haven't talked to him in years.
And then you're also like, you moved.
Yeah.
If you want one, tell us your new address. And then you have all these outstandings.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your new address? And then you're like, ah.
I thought us and the Smiths had agreed that we had mutually grown apart.
I don't know. I'm bad at cutting people off the list.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I haven't seen them in 12 years. Yeah. But they still send me one.
Yeah.
So it's only fair.
It's only fair.
Yeah.
And then it just hits you next early December. You're like, the Hortons didn't send us one last year.
At this point with our business, we're sending like 200.
Yeah.
At least.
With our business.
And we're getting like 30.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? But it doesn't bug me.
I mean, who's comparing? Melissa. Melissa is comparing. We've lived because that means we're getting cut off people's lists because
I just ordered like 100 more stamps.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought I had enough envelopes and I don't. So second round is coming out Friday morning.
You know what was nice is we're middle-aged now, so we don't get to see this very often, but we had some young neighbors who just had a kid. Mm-hmm. And so we got Christmas card with baby in a basket, which I hadn't seen one of those in a while.
The birth announcement / Christmas card.
I hadn't seen a baby in a basket Christmas card in a minute, just like I haven't been in a wedding in a minute.
So I was thinking about it. Christmas cards and Christmas like newsletters. That's social media now.
Yes.
Like old school social media was the annual Christmas card.
That's so funny. Yeah. Yeah.
Our family did those.
Yeah.
And we would get a lot because we were an Air Force family. So we'd be all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those letters were so funny. I always read them.
If you think about it, it is very funny that Gen Z and millennials, to an extent, make fun of Christmas cards and don't do them. I'm like, you post a Christmas card every day online, every single day.
TikTok video.
And then the letter is the caption. The letter was a lot, though. But you were a letter family. You were a letter family. I had actually never known a letter family.
It's interesting to think, like, summarize your life in one sheet of paper for the year.
But people liked it. People liked the letter. I would read. Yeah. I would actually, here's how I know the letter is valuable. My family, we are normal humans. We didn't send the letter. Mm-hmm. And then, but I would go to your house.
And read them.
And I would read other people's letters.
I know.
And I was like, oh, this is interesting. It's actually more, Christmas letter gets a bad rep.
If you can summarize your year in like four paragraphs.
Right.
It's actually helpful.
Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. I don't have to see you anymore. I want to leave you guys with one note here before we wrap up. Okay.
Where are you going?
It's really important in life not to compare yourself to other people. And it is also very important in life not to compare your elf in a shelf. Sorry, I messed that up. Let's retry it here. I said it wrong.
Did you?
Did I say elf in a shelf?
No.
No, I said it right.
I think you got it right.
Don't compare your elf on a shelf to other people's, all right? Don't do it.
This is for the kids?
This is for kids and for adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you saw the internet is full of like staged productions for Elf on the Shelf.
Ridiculous. Don't compare. Do not compare yourself to other people's. Do what you can. Do what you can for your kid.
Our elf came like 6 days late.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I had a funny note about traffic and I fully recovered. Don't compare your elf on a shelf to other families. And I'm saying this to the kids listening too, because our daughter came home and said that their elf brings them a present. Well, your elf doesn't.
Take it up with your elf.
You can take it up with Santa. You can take it up with the elf itself. You can take it up with whoever the governing lords are. Your elf, you got a cheap elf. Okay? Your elf does
not. Be grateful.
Be grateful that you got any elf at all.
That elf hides every year.
That elf is in a new morning.
Never find that elf.
Your elf is pretty great too. It finds a new hiding spot every day. It usually has a note that is creative and based on the experience that happened that day. But your elf is in the live entertainment business and there was a pandemic for 2 years. So maybe your elf is a little tighter in the pocket than your friend's elf who sells homes in San Diego.
Maybe that elf is making up for quality time with gifts.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that elf is overcompensating. You ever think about that? You ever think about that, huh? Maybe that elf needs to be home a little more. I don't know.
You know what is so sweet, though? Claire's 8, and she whispered to our elf to say hi at the North Pole to her friend's elf.
Which is adorable.
They both have the reindeers.
Yeah.
Because this enterprise will not end.
No, never.
It's so cute.
There's the female one now that's all...
They have accessories. We don't have them, but I'm tempted.
Yeah. I saw a guy on the internet like freak out that when there was a female elf on the shelf introduced. He's like, this is ridiculous. Why do we have to be like so over the top inclusive? And I'm like, do you think your male elf has genitalia?
It just has like one more wisp of hair. Yeah.
What are you?
Or like eyelashes.
This is a toy made in a factory. Do you think that's a real boy?
With testosterone coursing through his body?
Do you think that that elf has a Y chromosome? That's your freaking out about that is so much weirder than a female elf on a shelf. Anyways, everybody, enjoy your week. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Wanted to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up level patrons. Thank you so much for your support of the podcast in Dustin Nickerson Comedy. That is Trey Turner, Nathan and Jennifer Merritt, Adam Bush, Jennifer Ashley Downs, Juliana Smith, Jordan Cowan, Code to Grow, Courtney Ibling, Lori Amos, Dave and Melissa Cox, Isaac Teron, Farah Journey, Bonnie Galindo, Carrie Teague, Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Dave Hoagland, Demarius Diaz Stevens, Nicole Carraz, and Tiffany Payne. Thank you so much, everybody.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-pack battery kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.